Hello, beautiful girl. I'm so excited to announce the launch of my new course, Becoming Your Own Sugar Daddy. I know it's been much anticipated. You guys have been wanting me to share all my tips and tricks on how I'm able to travel the world, live a beautiful life of wealth and abundance, and be in flow with creating the life of my dreams. I specifically created this course with you in mind and have all the juiciest of info on how to switch from a scarcity mentality to one of abundance and on how to create actionable steps to embody being the highest and best version of yourself. This is a 6-week course that you can take with you any place you go and includes yummy journal prompts, audio, and a PDF. The course launches the first week of February with the introductory price of $400 off, and the following week it goes up to full price. So do not sit or sleep on this. These are all of the same techniques I've used to create my dream life, and I can't wait to share them with you. You can sign up at www.itsconway.com under courses, and I can't wait to hear about all the transformation that happens in each of your lives. Welcome to the Higher Conversations podcast, and I'm Conway, your host. I'm a wealth and abundance coach, keynote speaker, and author. Following the sudden loss of my father, I embarked on a transformative journey, breaking free of my comfort zone and dependency on drugs and alcohol. I now earn over 6 figures embarking on soul-searching adventures around the world. During my travels, I've had the incredible opportunity to connect with individuals from all walks of life, finding that you can always be blessed through something you would never consider a blessing. Hi, welcome to the Higher Conversations podcast. Today, I am so excited to have Sarah and Kayla with Sip Steady, which is a PR firm for mindful drinking and supporting non-alcoholic companies. And obviously, through my journey of sobriety and just, I'm so excited that there are more options out there of this stuff. But I just cannot wait to interview these women. They created their own PR firm, and then they're also supporting all these like dope brands. So I'm going to let them tell you a little bit more about what they actually do, because obviously you guys can say it a lot better than I can.
Go for it, Sarah. Sure. So Sip Steady was a seed that was planted in my imagination when I went alcohol-free in 2021. And it was really based on the idea of, and like the experience of so many other freshly alcohol-free or sober people, learning how to navigate the world without alcohol, right? And for many of us, we've been so conditioned to think that that's the only way to socialize. You know, when we go out to bars, restaurants, on vacation, everything tends to revolve around alcohol. So freshly alcohol-free and exploring a new city and realizing that there was such an explosion of these amazing, really fun, innovative, sometimes sexy non-alcoholic products that were exploding all over social media and not seeing that reflected in real life on menus, you know, both here in KC and like, you know, around the country, asking myself the question of like, well, how do we change this? And so I come from a nonprofit background, and when I kind of floated the idea to Kayla, and it was the best yes ever when I asked her if she'd like to go in together with Sip Steady and found this marketing, PR, and events agency to really do what we could using our skills and expertise and passion for, you know, whether you're a mindful drinker or alcohol free, you know, whatever you want to label yourself or identify, really helping those non-drinkers feel seen, supported, and valued in their decision.
I absolutely love that. I love that. So what was like the proponent? Are you guys both sober? I'm assuming so.
So Sarah is alcohol free. I'm a mindful drinker. So I'm more in the sober curious space. I don't really drink often, but I'm still in the mindful drinking space. My approach is more from the wellness and my relationship to it, and just making sure that everything is, you know, in a healthy space.
I love that. Do you want to expand on like what that means? Because sober curious is so huge right now. Mm-hmm. And then there's like sobriety. So I'd love to pick both your brains on both your sides of like really what that looks like for you.
Yeah, I guess I'll speak from the wellness background. So I entered the wellness space about 8 years ago. I started teaching yoga and getting into Reiki and crystals and astrology and all the things. And throughout that time, took breaks from alcohol or took breaks from certain indulging in certain, whatever it may be. And so there are a lot of people in the wellness world that can relate to that. They may not be ready to go fully sober. They may not see it as an issue in their life, but for health reasons, they want to take a break from alcohol. And so sober curiosity to me is just the people that I guess that I'll say resonate with me, where it's like, I want to see these, I want to have the availability of these non-alcoholic drinks. Most of the time, I do choose them over alcohol. I want to have the option so that I know what that is for me.
I love that.
Yeah.
And then Sarah, what was your kind of your journey into being completely sober
Yeah,
or n
so
alcohol free?
yeah, and it's I think for many people, especially women, the journey into the sober or alcohol-free realm, there tends to be some kind of root, often based in trauma. And so for me, that was the child, I had childhood trauma, and it was through many years of therapy to kind of uncover that and really help me explain why I had problematic drinking. Now, I'm always very clear that like there are people in recovery, and for them, choosing to drink alcohol is sometimes a life or death choice. That is not my story, nor is it my case. I never identified as an alcoholic, and it was actually the idea of going into AA that like terrified me for whatever reason. For many years, when I knew I needed to get help, I knew I needed to stop. I knew alcohol was no longer serving me, but it seems so black and white. You're either an alcoholic and you stop drinking, or I continue to try to self-moderate and regulate, which oftentimes worked. But when it didn't, I would wake up the next morning, even if nothing, embarrassing happened, I would still wake up in like such a shame spiral that finally in September of 2021, I woke up one morning and I was like, you know what? This is the last time I want to be hungover. And it was. I was just, I had had enough with going down that, for me, what is a slippery slope sometimes in social occasions, where I battled a lot of social anxiety growing up. And again, there's like always stories around this too, and like the narratives that we tell ourselves. And so for me, choosing to live alcohol free, I also wanted to make sure that I was gentle with myself, that if I ever did choose to have a glass of wine again, I would never like throw my, I would never let that take away from like how far I would come. And I never wanted to say that I would never drink again, because I'd done that in the past and it didn't work. And so for me, going alcohol free and living an alcohol free lifestyle helps me, maintain my motivation, my productivity, my creativity, my confidence. Like, it has just opened up like such a beautiful new side to living that I had otherwise not experienced. Because, I mean, even if I was never drinking frequently, but when I did drink, every now and then, I would go overboard, like, because I just didn't have that stop sign in my head that was like, okay, girl, like, you've had enough, like, put down the wine and walk away. I would always want to be like the last one standing and like the last one to go home and the last one to keep the party going, in my early and mid-20s. And so that's kind of like what brought me into the alcohol-free space. And the more that I realized that I shared my story, the more women would come to me, and say like, I can relate to this, because it's not always so black and white. You don't have to label yourself any certain way. But if you know that like alcohol tends to bring up issues both in your mental health, in your relationships, maybe in your work life or your energy levels, whatever that looks like, always encourage anyone to just kind of like question that, their motivations and why they feel like they need to drink, and maybe renegotiate their relationship with alcohol.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely resonate with like both your guys's stories because for me, like my dad died and then it propelled me into like, because I was a huge partier, like super big partier. I was like broke, but I would party all the time, you know? And so when he passed away, I realized that like I had to get my shit together and I was like the only one, I had to take responsibility for my life. And so I had to just like stop drinking completely. And then I would try to drink again. And I would definitely just, it wasn't like a one and done for quite some time. And now it's been about 4 years. And I can definitely
That's
just be
awesome.
like, oh, thank you. But now, I mean, and there's always like the every 6 months, like you, like I really do try to be like a mindful drinker. So I would be like, let's see if I can do it. And I'm like, no, nah, we're still not friends. Because I had like the shame spiral, you know, like where I would feel like, I just wasn't the best version of myself, right? And so, and I
Exactly,
love
yeah.
the taste of tequila. So that's why I was like so excited to have you guys on, because there's so many options now. Because some alcohol, like it does have a unique flavor and taste. And it's like, it's a bummer because it's like, I love how it tastes. I don't like how it makes me feel, right? It's almost like ice cream. Like if you had a shit ton of ice cream, you're like, I love how this tastes, but it makes me feel so bad. So it's like this almost the same thing. And so, yeah, I just like love that you guys created a platform to be able to help companies really go out there and like, you know, bring it out to people that there are other options. So like when you guys first did this, how did you just start discovering the companies you're working for? Like, I know it was a decision in mind that you guys wanted to create it, but what did that kind of look like for someone that's like maybe wants to be an entrepreneur, or you know, how have you navigated that just from the start?
Yeah, well, when we launched Sip Steady last August and put it out on Instagram, and I believe Sarah boosted our first post, and it was, you know, PR and marketing for non-alcoholic brands and sober-friendly businesses. We got a lot of response from brands, really because from the research we've done, there are no dedicated PR companies for non-alcoholic brands. Typically, they would have to go to a larger umbrella firm. There's, you know, I think we can all assume very large dollars behind getting a PR firm or a marketing firm that maybe deals with Coca-Cola or, you know, these really big names for a founder just starting out or two founders just starting out. And so we really wanted to act as an extension of their team and support them in any capacity that we could and not promise that we were going to get them, you know, all the things in the world, but really try and help them move the needle forward on bringing their business to life. So we actually were very lucky and niche to have gotten a bunch of brands reach out to us from the get-go. And we, you know, launched in August, started working with our first brand in September.
That's awesome. So, and you said that it was like, so for also brands that are like sober, not just non-alcoholic brands, but sober supporting brands as well. So like, what does that all encompass?
So far, I mean, we're definitely open to working with like a wellness-based brand, like a kombucha or like a tea or something like that. Anything within the non-alcoholic beverage space, but we say sober-friendly businesses or sober-inclusive businesses because we've started to work with like some restaurants and businesses who are like, I recognize that either my customers or my teams, my employees, my staff, like we need to be better at providing delicious, elevated adult non-alcoholic beverages. And so we'll step in as like a consultant or help with menu curation or pop up at their corporate events so that we can provide more inclusive options for those non-drinkers.
That is amazing. I was just like thinking about this before interviewing you guys this morning, where I'm like, dude, it sucks like being sober sometimes, because it's like not because you don't not want to drink. It's like, but the options out there of things for you to drink is like either overpriced like fruit juice and like that's a mocktail,
Yes.
you know, and you're like, cool. So I spent $12 on this cucumber water that like, you know, sodas or like just water. And so I love that you guys are also supporting restaurants in, you know, being able to facilitate and carry that, because I've noticed around Nashville where I live, there's only like maybe a few places that have like mocktails that are actually non-alcoholic cocktails, you know, where it has the flavor depth and all those notes in it. But it's like even some of their stuff, I'm like, some of this stuff is like, I don't know, I hate to say it, but some of the like stuff just tastes like their version of tequila just tastes like spicy water.
But I love that people are starting to actually carry things and carry different lines. So have you noticed in the last couple of months that there's been a much bigger explosion of different types of brands?
Yeah, I would say, even this past year, it seems like there's more and more coming out every month, which is amazing. We love to see it. It's definitely a growing industry. The numbers of the growth are just, we're on that trajectory right now for brands. That being said, there's so much that goes into launching a beverage that we are learning, obviously from the PR and marketing side, that some of these brands may not make it through the push. Some may fall off, but we're overall seeing a huge number of new beverage brands come out.
Yeah, and again, it's all based on demand, right? And from the, it's our job, literally our job, to keep our finger on the pulse of the non-alcoholic movement. And there's been tons of articles that have affirmed that Gen Z is actually the generation that's leading the way in like the sober curious movement. And it's Wine Enthusiast actually just came out with an article this week. Or maybe it was last week, but it was like, is alcohol the next tobacco? And it affirmed as well that it's not like the sober, curious, like move or like the trend. It wasn't just like, it's no longer just like a cute little trend. And it goes way beyond dry January, sober October, into these kind of like very one and done situations, but it's tapping into a much different, like much deeper conversation that I think people are having with themselves, with their partners, their friends. And it's like a whole cultural shift that's happening. And so with the brands that have already gained market share in the non-alcoholic beverage space, I mean, you see them just accomplishing so much in such a short amount of time, because though, and especially those who have obviously gone after like pre-seed funding and investor money, and capital to be able to grow their brands exponentially within 2 to 3 years, I think previously would have been unheard of. So yeah, it's been a really, I again, we're kind of like drink dorks and we like love all of this stuff, but it's definitely based on the demand and this like continued cultural shift towards just moving away from, or at least I think more and more people know that we all have a choice, and people are gaining the confidence to say, like, you know what, like even if they're in a group setting and they're at like a happy hour with their coworkers or whatever it is, like they're getting the confidence to say, you know, maybe I'm just going to stick to like X, Y, and Z, or they'll have like an NA cocktail or NA beer or something like that. So it's been really cool and exciting to watch.
Yeah, it's so cool because obviously, like what you were saying, like I would select that over drinking alcohol because a lot of them, the non-alcoholic beverages too, I've noticed have so many other additional cool health benefits in them. Like people are adding reishi or they're adding adaptogens and or I was gonna say ayahuasca and I was like, no, they're not adding
Not
ayahuasca.
yet. Maybe
Yeah.
someday.
Yeah, but ashwagandha. Like I was like that is completely opposite chill to meeting God. But there's just so many cool different things, so it's like obviously I'm gonna pick that over picking alcohol or something. I mean, and now they're tasting so great. What are like some of, I know you guys are working with companies, so I don't know if you can actually share this, but like what are some of your favorite, what are your, for some of your favorite brands right now of like where you're like, I really, really love this product.
I'll let Kaylee
Let's go with
go.
a fake hard alcohol because I like, or a non, or an NA hard alcohol, like a liquor. And then we can do a wine. And then I know that there's some other ones that now they're coming out with like seltzers, like their versions of seltzers and stuff. So what are your some of your faves?
One that I loved over the summer, I will say now that we're hitting fall, stepping into some other things, but Wilfred's, which is like an Italian rosemary orange aperitivo-esque kind of, it wouldn't necessarily be a replacement of Aperol, but a similar dark orange kind of spritzy feeling that I really like Wilfred's.
Yeah, I think I have two favorites for like the spirit mimic, actually no, three kind of. I love ritual. I love free spirits. Free spirits also does like a great version of like an Aperol liqueur. And ritual like gin and whiskey and tequila are like, from what we've seen, we haven't tried Danny Trejo's tequila, you know, non-alcoholic tequila yet. So Danny Trejo, let us know. but in terms of like spirit mimicking, those would be my favorites. And what I can constantly drink at home, not constantly, but like what I actually will drink at home when I'm making dinner or want to like unwind with my husband or like watching a show or something. I love Filia, which is a women-owned brand out of New York City. It has like, they make like little spritzes, but then they also have like something that you can mix. And it, again, it has like that clove, bitter orange. I'm not like a super sweet drink gal, so it gives me that kind of aperitivo feel.
I love that. I went to actually Warner Music because I'm in Nashville right now. So I went to a Warner Music pop-up and it was like a showcase of their artists. And they had an open bar and they had Ritual there. So they had non-alcoholic cocktails available as well as alcoholic cocktails, which was so cool. So they made, I believe it was like a gin mint kind of drink. It was so good. And then they had just like a margarita, I mean, with the non-alcoholic tequila. And it was so cool to be able to like go somewhere and order something and not just be like drinking a liquid death or something.
Right. I think Liquid Death is probably, I want to speak for them, but like I can imagine that Liquid Death might be kind of bummed that there's so many new options entering this category, because at like every concert venue and hall, etc., like that was the only other non-alcoholic option for so long.
Their soda waters are really good though. I'm just gonna put it out there. Their soda waters are delicious. I mean, I don't know if they're great for $12, but they're still really good.
Hey, I've had so many Liquid Deaths at concerts because you want to hold something, right? So like I'm grateful that they exist.
Yeah, exactly. Like I am so grateful, like especially in Nashville, because I can go and order something and I don't feel like, A, bartenders don't want to give you water. You know, like in a busy bar, they're like, really don't want to, they do not want to help sober people. Because you are not a moneymaker. They're, you know, like they're grinding and they're moving. So like, at least if you order Liquid Death, you're like, okay, you'll take my order. Versus when you're like, can I have water? Money. They're like, they like ignore you the rest of the night. They're like, nah, that chick is, we're going to ignore
straight
her.
Straight up drinking water.
Or they'll be like, let go to the dehydrate. Water pitcher over there. And it's like, this place is crowded and that thing is like the other side in the sun. Like, I don't know if I want the water from that. So I'm very grateful for it. What can like people do to really propel like sober people, or even sober curious people, to really get this shit more in the market, in the forefront, to have restaurants carry it, to have hotels carry it, to have, you know, bars and concert venues? Like, what can we do as consumers to really like encourage this to happen?
I would say ask for it. Yeah, I would say exactly ask for it. You know, the more that, so from our end, when we hear from a restaurant, it's typically because they either are kind of on top of the market, they know what things are kind of trending right now, or it's because people are asking them, hey, when are you going to have these updates on your menu? We'd love to see a non-alcoholic cocktail. We'd love to see a mocktail. We'd love to have some options. So the more people bring it up to them, that's kind of where it, at least for us, it trickles back to, okay, how can we make that happen? Or they start to look out for it. They might ask their distributor for it, depending on what state you're in and how that works. So, and online, you know, same thing. You know, we are, you know, based in the Midwest, and we are so thankful that our friends on the coast, the East and West Coast, like this movement is thriving, right? They have the population density there. We know from our own experience here that there are huge communities desiring, wanting these elevated experiences, wanting access to the brands that we see on Instagram that aren't available in stores, aren't available at bars. You know, there is demand for it. And we are, you know, we're here to like cheerlead that on and help, you know, tell brands, hey, the Midwest, like we want to be seen. We want to be like, we're part of this movement too. But it helps so much, you know, when you interact with them on social media or reach out to them, hey, where are you at in Kansas City or where are you at in Nashville? Because we get asked a lot privately, you know, hey, where can I buy this brand? And we do our best to answer people when they give us that question. But sometimes, you know, we don't always know every single location of every single brand. And if a brand gets that message from you and knows you're asking for that their product in this city, you know, they might think twice about where their strategy is of where they're going to go.
Cool.
Yeah. And just to echo that, the comparison gets made a lot between like the non-alcoholic movement and like the alternative milks, you know, right? That like when people start to expect to see it on menus and ask for it, companies, restaurants, bars, cafes, hotels, whatever, are going to be like, okay, like I need to keep my customers happy. Like they're, I don't want to leave money on the table because like, just like you mentioned, I got really tired of just ordering like soda water with lime that costs like $3, but I will pay, you know, $13 to $15 or more on a delicious and a cocktail that feels like there's been some intention behind it. So it's an opportunity for both consumers to make sure that they're voicing, you know, what their expectations are with like wherever they go, and say like, hey, do you have an NA wine? I love asking that question because most restaurants don't carry it and that's don't carry one. And so that's something that like we'd definitely love to see more of. But then also for bars and restaurants, just to know that like non-drinkers will spend money, not maybe not as much as like drinkers, right? Because we're not going to be guzzling down six glasses of NA wine over dinner, but like we'll have one or two. So yeah, I would just say I would encourage people as consumers to just wherever you go, if you want to see something change on the menu, like why not bring it up? Because that feedback will eventually trickle.
I know you guys also work with influencers, because I am on your, that's how I found you guys, because you're connecting brands with influencers and doing partnerships with them. So kind of explain to everyone like how that works, if someone's interested in participating with that. And then I'll ask it from like the brand side, how do brands kind of work with you as well?
Yeah. So do you want to go ahead?
No, sorry. Go ahead.
Okay. So when we started working with brands back in September, you know, getting creative with social media, getting creative with how can they be in touch with their community, how can they get their product in hands, because that's really important, right? And so we started to think through, whether that's influencers or directly to community, what's something that makes sense for both parties involved. You know, Sarah and I have done our own kind of influencing with brands, and sometimes there's free opportunity, sometimes it's paid opportunity. But really, we wanted to kind of build up a list of interested influencers and people that are excited to try these brands, that are wanting to partner with them, wanting a longer lasting relationship. And that's really kind of where we see that going. When we work with brands, we always want them to, or we always want to help them find someone that's aligned, not just someone who's, you know, wanting to do it just to do it. We want to find the right fit, where it's someone who's really going to champion their brand, and where we can say to them, hey, look, this person's really into it. What is a win-win situation that we can kind of develop this relationship for a longer lasting thing, and where you can really kind of intertwine with the person, with the brand, and have it be, you know, successful in sharing, very aligned, very natural, versus like trying to force something for money. Yeah. And it's just to piggyback off of that really quick. Someone in the marketing space recently said to me, like, you know, influencer marketing is dead. And I have to disagree with that in a sense, because I think like the way that we previously thought about influencer marketing, you know, like the skinny tea era, where it was like just hot girls who were promoting whoever paid them to promote their stuff, right? That is just, you see through it in a second. However, like Kayla said, when we're working with potential influencers, UGC content creators, and kind of helping them pair with brands, we really want to kind of not vet them, but we want to make sure that, like Kayla said, they are truly like embodying the ethos or like what the brand stands for. And they would have been using this brand already, or now that they've heard of them, right? Because if I'm looking at like, you know, one of my favorite like healthy accounts, if she recommends something and I know that she's an expert and she pours all of her time and energy into healthy probiotics or like whatever it is, I'm going to take her recommendation and I want to go check out that product. So it's the same thing for, you know, accounts and people who are sober, or they experiment with like, you know, their whole account is based off of making NA cocktails or like trying new NA products. They've already tapped into this audience and they're already living out this like aligned lifestyle. So we're kind of like the fun little matchmakers, and making sure that we want to be respectful for both. Like if a content creator has a service list and doesn't want to budge on prices, like obviously we're going to approach some brands over others, right? Or if it's a brand new brand who doesn't have a budget, we're going to look for newer people or people who are willing to do a one-off partnership that maybe there's nothing monetary exchange, but that can maybe build up as the relationship continues.
And then how would like a potential influencer that was interested in being in the space and working with these brands, how would they reach out and contact you?
Yeah, I mean, they can reach out to us on Instagram. And when someone reaches out on Instagram, we add them to our influencer list. We sent out a Google sheet, a questionnaire, if you will, in September, I believe, just to kind of ask, you know, what brands do you like right now? What kind of content do you see yourself creating? Just so that we get a better understanding of, you know, where they're coming from and that all that information, where are they located? Because we know where these brands are either targeting or where they're trying to go or maybe where they're from. And so there could be a lot of potential there. So we filter through that information and that's kind of where we start. So they can get a hold of us, you know, via Instagram, Facebook at sipsteady_, and then it's Sarah or I that answers.
I love that. And then what about for brands? Like you boosted your first post and we're saying, hey, we're starting this exclusive marketing firm just for this niche. How would more brands come to you? And then what does that look like for them to work with you?
Yeah, they can definitely check out our website, sipstudy.com. And when we first started, neither one of us, although we both have marketing experience from different kind of perspectives, neither one of us has ever worked for a traditional marketing agency before. I've been on the other side and have been a client of marketing agencies, but we are flying the plane as we build it. And so when we first started, we wanted to be super flexible. And we spent a lot of time just really listening and honing in on what these small brand new businesses were looking for and what they really needed, like Kayla said, to like incrementally help them move the needle forward in a really responsible, like tactical way. And so from there though, we have like any entrepreneur, our business evolves. And so we've realized like what has been most successful in our partner work with brands and really trying to put better parameters around that. So we've built out some packages. We prefer to work with brands and have seen the most success working with brands on at least a 3-month retainer. Oftentimes they'll like extend that if, you know, they want continued social media management or whatever projects we're working on. But yeah, building out packages and making sure that, you know, cost transparency and scope of work is very clearly defined has been some of the learning lessons and things that we're like excited that we've done now for our business.
As female entrepreneurs, like obviously, like you said, like you're building the plane as you're going and then you're having your learning lessons along the way. How has that been like for you being out in the world doing that, but also doing it together and like maintaining your balance and just your within your life and just like what do you guys do to, you know, keep it together? Because being an entrepreneur, that's, it's a lot to manage. Like, we all know that. And then you're also new and figuring it out. So like, how are you kind of keeping your peace through that while you're continuing to build? And not driving you to drink.
I think Sarah and I would both agree that having someone else to help keep us accountable, so having each other to keep ourselves on track and accountable, is super helpful. I've done solo things in the past and they were great, but you know, I really ebbed and flowed with my masculine and feminine and just kind of, you know, went with what felt natural. And the reality is, like, you can be super stoked and excited about something, but you have to put in the work, you know, one step forward at all times. Sure, you might take a couple steps back, but you're always just, you know, implementing, learning, you know, integrating, implementing. And so balance wise, I think we're just so excited about this. Like she said, we live and breathe beverages. And that's something we never thought we would say maybe 3 years ago. And now we're like, our life is beverages. You want to talk beverage talk? Like, we just love every minute of it. So being really open with each other, having open communication with each other has been super helpful. We're very lucky that, you know, work relationship wise, we just kind of can read each other's minds. We kind of work very fluidly with one another and very well with one another. And maybe it's our signs, who knows, but we have a great working relationship. I think we both encourage each other to, you know, take a break when needed, go for a run, go for a walk, take a spa day, whatever you need to do to kind of reset. And that's what's been really nice too, is, you know, on days where Sarah's amped up and firing out, you know, so many emails, might be a day where I'm just, you know, stuck in, you know, what are we doing? What's going on? Or maybe just like in a down mood, and then vice versa. Sometimes she'll go down and I go up, and so that's been really nice to kind of balance each other out that way.
It's the best. Yeah. I think, I don't, Sip Study would not have come as far as we have, I think, without this partnership, like 1,000%. That accountability that Kayla talked about, and the way that we just like very naturally, supernaturally, like ebb and flow with one another, and where she has strengths, you know, we have a lot of complementary skills, but like where she's strong, or like sometimes her point of view is completely different from mine, but like her voicing her point of view, I'm like, okay, I get it now. Like, I needed to hear that. I needed to see. We all have blind spots, right? And I think no matter what business an entrepreneur is working in, or really anyone, it's so important to have someone to safely, directly, respectfully, honestly, like help you see your blind spots so that you can continue like just operating at your best. And so with balance, like Kayla said, you know, she was in Europe first, and then I was, you know, I was like in the grind in the day to day, and then I was gone for 2 weeks in Europe, and Kayla was just like a rock star. So having that like really like nothing but like mutual love and respect for one another and like what we're building together has really just made it feel so much easier than it probably should.
What are some of like, what would you say like the top things you've learned were the biggest learning lessons for you within just the work-life balance and being an entrepreneur and having that, like what were some of the big ones that you would like definitely pass along to someone else and be like, so I wish I had known this.
Yeah, that's such a great question.
Yeah, I was going to say, let you go for it, Sarah, because I feel like my husband's been an entrepreneur for maybe 6 years now. And so I think I might be numb to some of the ups and downs and nuances that come with seeing it and living it.
I think that one of the best pieces of entrepreneurship advice that I've ever heard and then lived through is, and I kind of mentioned it before, is you don't have to have all of the answers in order to start. You don't need to know everything in order to start. And I feel like that gets said and repeated a lot, like in the entrepreneurial space. But it's so true, because I worked for a mental health startup that was a non-starter because of a lot of reasons. But there was just like there is a thought that you needed to have everything perfect in order to launch. And so with Sip Steady, knowing that, like, and being very confident and knowing that you can walk the walk, not just talk the talk, as long as you can do that, everything else can be learned through trial and error. You can tap in people in your network to like help you with, you know, if you don't know CRMs or backend operations or accounting or whatever it may be, like all of that can be taught. And I think one of my favorite phrases is like, if you're not embarrassed by your first iteration, like then you launch too late. So yeah, just knowing that you can figure it out, you can fly the plane as you're building it. And as long as you continue to, I mean, it doesn't mean that like new businesses don't fail, right? But just the fact that like you don't need to know everything, it doesn't have to be perfect, just start somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Like fail quickly, like I always like say, like fail fast, because the sooner you fail, the sooner you can pick up and change it and figure out what you're doing.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm.
Do you guys have daily spiritual practice? So I have like a daily spiritual practice, and that's something that's like my grounding tool that really sets the tone for the rest of my day. Do you guys have one, like, especially since you guys are both in like the soberish and the sober area of life? Like, I know I crave routine, like, and that's like really an important thing to me. But do you guys have a daily practice that like really sets the tone for the rest of the day for you?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely try to hold myself accountable to those kind of grounding tools to start the day. And for me, what that looks like is, you know, aside from feeding the dogs and, you know, getting my apple cider latte or whatever it is, I feel my best when I take the time to sit down in my office. I usually pull a card, and you know, wherever, the way I like to explain like cards, because you know it's seen as witchy and whatnot, for me it always gives me something to journal about, a question or a perspective, or like it's almost like I'm analyzing who I am. And it's not like, oh, this card is my life and this is right. It's just I reflect on how I find relation to whatever the message is. And so I'll typically pull a card, I'll journal, and then I'll meditate for a certain amount of time. And then that's kind of like the basics of what kickstarts my day. Obviously walks and other things are integrated, but that would be like my perfect day would start with that.
I love that. Sarah, what's yours? Yeah.
You know, I wish I could say I was as consistent as you are both. Consistency is an area that I'm constantly working on. That's the only thing that's consistent in my life, is that I always have to work on it. but what is a part of my spiritual practice, so I definitely believe in God and the higher power, and as much as I can, unless my morning routine is interrupted, I try and take like some time just to like, whether you call it meditate or pray, I just try and be in stillness and like listen. And for me, that's really what prayer is, in addition to like, you know, verbally or like writing gratitude down. Gratitude for me has been like one of the most powerful mechanisms to like really like tap into like your heart chakra, or whatever you want to call it, just like opening up of your heart and putting things into perspective, because as an entrepreneur, like things are confusing and things move really fast, and there can be a lot of self-doubt, because you know, it's when you're an entrepreneur, everything, the buck stops with you, right? And so really being very intentional about, I may not do it every morning, but it happens at least once a day, where I try and just like find that stillness and realize that like there's so much to be grateful for. And then kind of like imagining, you know, how can I serve is really the question that I always come back to. Like, how can I do my best to serve? Because at the end of the day, SIP study is about helping non-drinkers feel seen and supported, in all the cool ways we get to do that. But yeah, that's my, I don't know if that counts as a spiritual practice.
100%.
What keeps me motivated and
100%. Yeah. Like that totally counts. It's doing something outside of yourself. And gratitude does have such a powerful way of shifting your perspective. Like originally this podcast was called Grieving with Gratitude, and it was like counterintuitive, but it was really, that's how I was able to process grieving, was just like by looking outside of myself at something else to be grateful for, you know. And that it's also the same thing, like through, you know, my recovery through drugs and alcohol, was like, because you have those moments where you want to slip and you want to just like, you're like, I, you know, like you just want to do it. And then you like look at all the things you could be grateful for, and you're like, I love this more than I love that. So, you know, so like totally, I think gratitude is 100% a daily spiritual practice that literally we all could do. And it's so cool, Kayla, that you pull cards and you use the cards not as like, this is what my day is going to be, but looking at it from a perspective of how do I want, you know, like, how is this out picturing in my life, and like, what do you want to create? Right. So like, those are such cool practices that you ladies have. How is it with your, cause you're both married. So like, how is it with your significant others? Do they drink or do they not drink? Or what does that look like in your relationship with, you know, being in the NA alcohol space?
Well, they refuse to go for dinner with us because we just want to talk business.
No, it's like a love language.
They're so supportive. Our guys are like our number one fans and champs and heavy lifters when we need to move things and pack out events and things like that. But my husband drinks. He might be doing sober October, to be confirmed. Since we've gotten back from Europe, he might get like a little bit of a late start, but his drinking, we both used to really revolve around how we connected around drinking and wine. And since I went alcohol free, it's really had a positive effect on like, on him as well. And we've totally rewrote our relationship dynamic when alcohol was removed.
Yeah, it would be similar for me. My husband does drink, and that was a whole learning lesson. You know, for a while there when I was, again, I'm a mindful drinker. I'm not, alcohol is still in my life in some capacity, but it took a really long time to develop a healthy relationship with it. So for a long time, I just said no to going out because I wanted something in my hand, you know, or peer pressure or... And so that was kind of a tough transition because, you know, he wanted to be social, and I just knew like for me, it was a no for right now. However, being in this space, you know, has opened his eyes up to all these products, and he loves trying, you know, all the drinks that we create or if we have something. And I have noticed, you know, for a while there, I had to stop myself from the judgment, because if he reached for a drink, I'd, you know, side eye, like, do you really need to have that right now? We have all these other alternatives. But he has stopped drinking as much just from, you know, being around, I guess, the conversation that we have on a daily basis, and just from the options. You know, I think he's starting to play around with maybe replacing one for one sometimes, or kind of like experimenting on his own. So it's been a really positive outcome for us overall.
That's awesome. So it just is like flowing everywhere and positive impacts. You guys also host events, right? Too. What do like your events look like? Where can people go? Like, that seems really fun. I would like to go.
Yes. Oh my God, please come. We started hosting events last December. We hosted a social lounge that happened every Friday of December last year. And it was really us dipping our toes in the water because we had no idea who would come hosting an alcohol-free lounge. And people came. And from there, we started Dry Vibes with Drew Davis, who is the owner of the first female-owned bottle store in the United States, Gem Bar, or Gem Life and Collective. And Kayla, what else about our events?
we love to host events as, again, just to build community to, you know, provide those networking spaces that are just a little bit different from your traditional, you know, where people feel like they're getting something fun and new and fresh. So we do, you know, some things here and there, but really our big event of the year is Dry Vibes. Like Sarah said, we did one in January of this year, and then we're planning for January 2024. And this year it's a Tri-City event. So we're doing Houston, Kansas City, and Philly. And our theme is sober travel. So it's, you know, sober travel is on the rise. People are, like you said, seeking it at drinks. They want options at restaurants, at bars. You know, if they're going traveling wherever they are, you know, maybe it's in their hotel fridge, you know. So that's kind of like our topic for this year is sober travel. We have some exciting speakers coming. We have, you know, some brands that'll be really fun to incorporate. So that is the first three weekends in January will be a Dry Vibes in one of those cities. So I think the first city is Philly, right? No, it's Houston. Philly is the first city. The 6th, the 13th is Kansas City, and then the 20th, I believe, is Houston.
Dope. And then how can people go to and figure how to get to these events? Oh, sorry, Sarah, did I interrupt you?
No, not at all. You can, so serving our Instagram handle for Dry Vibes is Serving Dry Vibes, right? Is that all one word, Kayla? And we have a website, which is also the same, I think, but we can definitely follow up with that. It's literally just a landing page right now. But with Dry Vibes, like I like to say, like the vision, like the beautiful vision behind Dry Vibes is like, we like to say, imagine like if Goop and the non-alcoholic world had an event baby. That's what we want to bring in terms of like a elevated, like really curated special experience that combines holistic health and wellness practitioners and immersive workshops and things like that with a fun bar or like silent disco or, you know, whatever that looks like. So fitness classes, things like that. So we always say that Dry Vibes is the intersection of like lifestyle, wellness, and non-alcoholic alchemy.
Dude, I love that. That sounds so fun. I want to go. If I'm back from Thailand, I'll go. But depending on what city. I would love to go. I love that you combine it. It's elevated and it's, I mean, and also like really, I will have to say that all the NA companies that I've seen or worked with, their marketing is fucking beautiful. Like gorgeous bottles, like just so amazing. And even when I've been going out in Nashville, I'll go places like there's certain cocktail bars. And I always just assume that no one has non-alcoholic drinks. And I went to one called Attaboy in Nashville, and they actually do carry some lines. And I was like telling them about some of the other brands that I've worked with. And I'm like, their packaging is beautiful. They actually taste good. Like, it's just so fun that the marketing is absolutely stunning for a lot of these brands. Like, you just want to have it in your refrigerator 100%. On your counter anyways, because it's like these beautiful bottles, like they're stunning.
Yeah, they're 100%. Doing a great job. Like, we are, you know, every time we talk to Brian, we're like, we are your customer. We want your product. We love your bottles. We love your like writing, the fonts that, you know, it's everyone's so unique in their expression of what their product is. It's been really, really fun to just work and see all the creative things that are happening in the space.
I noticed that like and you can just like tell me if this is correct or not, but it feels like are a lot of the NA companies owned by women or founded by women? Because I've like I've had multiple companies where it's like very female dominated.
Yeah, I don't think we could speak to the exact split of male to female owned companies, but it's definitely skews female owned, with like
Even the
some of the
marketing and
larger.
packaging looks like it, you
Yeah,
know?
and women are because women are by large the demographic that they're trying to appeal to, which makes sense because we're a lot more, women tend to be early adopters for new trends. We're definitely more into health, wellness, well-being. And while there's been a lot of like toxic pink marketing and big alcohol, I think for a lot of men, the idea of not, having a beer with the guys is still a little bit too much for them. But yeah, tons of incredible female-founded NA companies. I think women are definitely leading the charge in this.
I've made some like non-alcoholic drinks for like this guy that I recently started dating. I was like, "Oh, do you want a mocktail?" And he's like, "This is great." I'm like, "See? No one needs alcohol. You could just make fun stuff."
Yes, love that.
Okay,
Yeah, I
so
love.
oh wait, no, go ahead. Sorry.
No, sorry. I was just gonna say, I love how open-minded he was. He sounds cool.
I know, right? Well, also, there's no alcohol in my house, so if you wanted to get a cocktail, actually, that's a lie. There is alcohol here because I obviously entertain people, but like it sits in my freezer for literally years.
Years.
Like years. I think I finally got rid of a bottle of vodka from my fridge like from 4 years ago.
That's so funny.
Yeah, and
Yeah,
like
I can relate.
4 years ago or 5 years ago, that would never have happened. That shit would never have lived there that long. So you there is the opportunity for change. So I was gonna do something fun. This is what I do with everyone, especially because you guys are both female entrepreneurs, and I think it'd be really fun anyways. What are some of your favorite Instagram accounts that you love to follow in any area? Maybe it's like, recipes or mocktails or just anything that kind of like lights you up that is like that is your favorite Instagram account to follow.
Oh my gosh, there's so many.
I know, I'm like, oh, I'm trying to think back through. I think so. I'm a big I'm also like a little poet writer too, and a lot of my inspiration comes from other or like the accounts I tend to follow and feel like I get the most out of are either other writers or other people who are kind of in like the mental health writing space. And of course, like there's so many amazing female sober accounts. Like Sober Girls Guide is hilarious. Join Soberish is amazing. But a few of the accounts I'd love to shout out are Dani Kreeft. She is a writer and she writes some just like really beautiful stuff. And I love Lala Delia, who is the author of Vibrate Higher Daily. And the what is that psychologist one that's like all over
Oh
the
my God, I know who you're talking about.
I can't believe I can't recall her handle. Pull it up.
It's something psychologist, though.
Go ahead, Kayla. Sorry. The holistic psychologist. Oh,
Yes,
the
I was
holistic
like,
psychologist. Yes.
love her.
Yeah, she's great. I love the design one, so I would say like Kelly Wurstler. I love Spirit Weavers for just some alternative kind of things. I love Miranda Pleasant for the magazines she runs. The Mantra Mag. Mantra Mag is another good one. Half Baked Harvest or Half Baked Harvest. Yeah. The food and decor and all the food and
Yeah.
decor for me. I'm trying to think
I
of like
love that.
entrepreneur ones.
But even those like obviously are very inspiring to you. Like, Kayla, do you do the kind of the vision like the I'm assuming, let me see if it's right though. Do you okay, Sarah, do you do the copywriting because you love the writing part? And Sarah, do you do like the visual stuff for your company? I mean, I'm sure you share some of it, but like someone takes is one of you takes a little bit more passion for it.
We actually,
Definitely.
yeah, like I would say, but I don't know, I feel like we still both kind of do both though. Like
That's true.
Like Sarah will do copy. At the beginning, Sarah was definitely copy. And then I maybe did some a little bit more visuals, but then she'll start doing visuals and I'm like, wow, that's amazing. And then I'll start writing copy and she's like, that's great. And then we just and then we just like kind of like go like this. Yeah, I think we're both manifestors, so we're kind of, you know, we circulate in the, you know, the creative space a lot.
Yeah, and I was just gonna say, and it's so amazing and nice that we both can like swim in both waters, right? Because sometimes I'll write something, I'm like, this is crap. Like I can't, like you just like, or you get writer's block or something like that, or we'll be designing something and I'm like, Kayla, I can't look at this design anymore. Like, please, like make it better. And she will. So we're able to just kind of tag team all of these creative, like different creative things.
I absolutely love that. So what, okay. What are some of like the books did you write? Okay. When you guys first launched, did you read any books about being an entrepreneur, or were there any good reads that you really got insight into how to like build out this area of your lives? Or you kind of just wing it?
For me, I've kind of been bouncing in the entrepreneurial space for maybe the last 5 years. And so I wouldn't say when we launched Sip Study, there wasn't any particular books at that time that I was reading. However, in the past, so many books have been super helpful. Jen Sincero's, both of her books, You Are a Badass and You Are a Badass with Money, I believe it's called, are like for sure reads. There's The Existential Untethered Soul, that, you know, just, you know, those kind of ones. And then, you know, I couldn't even name all the business books I've read. I've read so many books on, being an entrepreneur, decision making, habit stacking, habit forming, things you should do, things you shouldn't do. Listen to so many podcasts. So, but it's been over the span of a few years. So those are kind of the ones that stick out though. Jen Sincero's always had like a hit home.
Dude, hers was great. I read that book, and when she was like, I'm gonna charge this client $20,000, I was like, fuck yes, let's go.
Yeah. I wish I could rattle off a bunch of books that I've read. I'm definitely more of a podcast listener when it comes to absorbing.
Say your podcast. Yeah, say your favorite podcast.
Yeah, so Kayla and I are big fans of Him and Her, Dear Media, and we're constantly, and Kayla's better at this than I am, but she's like, she'll be sending me Dear Media podcasts with like nuggets of wisdom from these amazing entrepreneurs that go on the shows. And then I really love the Ed Milet podcast. I've been listening to him since 2017, and he just interviews the most phenomenal, like, you know, these are people who have been in their industry and been experts and like at the top of their game for like decades sometimes. And so because we're pretty far removed from, you know, that, it's so enlightening to me to be able to glean wisdom and to hear stories from these entrepreneurs who started their businesses like 10, 20, you know, 30 years ago. And so the Ed Milet podcast, I always like, I never listen to a show and not get something useful out of it.
I absolutely love that. I love podcasts and the same. I love binging them. I posted on my Instagram that podcasts are the thing that keeps me like, especially if I ever feel lonely or anything, or, you know, like when you're going on a walk, you're like, I don't want to go by myself. I'm like, well, I have a podcast to keep me company. Kayla, do you have any of your favorite podcasts?
Yeah, definitely what Sarah said. Dear Media, I get a lot of right now. Call Her Daddy, not that I'm getting a ton of business advice from that one, but it keeps me entertained on the walks. I really like Tom Bilyeu, and who else? Jay Shetty. I go through phases with people where I'm like all in on certain podcasts, and then I'll kind of flow into the next set. So the Dear Media has definitely been a huge one. Jenna Kutcher.
Gold Digger.
Yeah.
Gold Digger. Oh, the Gold Digger.
Huge for me for years. I've learned so much from her. Yeah, those would kind of be the top ones.
I love it. I love it. I love it. Thank you guys so much for being on. Where can everyone find you guys and like find all the things that you're doing and connect with you and all that good stuff?
Listeners can find us on Instagram is definitely where we're most active, and it's at sipstudy underscore. That's the same for Facebook, and then we're on Twitter and TikTok, which is just sipstudy.
I love it. And then do you guys want to, and then for the event, you want to link that one too. And I'll put all these in the show notes too, so all the links to everything. And then your event one, so people can attend in December or January.
Yeah, the event account is at Serving Dry Vibes. And so we on our accounts we'll tag to that one too, but that's kind of the homepage for to give you an idea of, you know, what the vibe will be for that.
I absolutely love it. Thank you so much, ladies, for being on the Higher Conversations podcast. It was so amazing to connect with you, especially since I've been like emailing you and DMing you. So it's so nice to put like an official face to the name. And you guys, I'm just so excited to see where you guys go and how impactful this has been for just not only the companies that you work for, but for people that are just looking for a different alternative on how to live life. And I just, you're making a huge impact on the world. And that's so cool that you just had that purpose and calling on your life and you listened to it and you went for it.
Thank
Thank
you so
you. That's
much. So that means a lot. Thank you so much. Thank you for having
yeah.
us.
Of course, girls. Well, thank you so much. I'm going to end the recording.
Hello, beautiful girl. I'm so excited to announce the launch of my new course, Becoming Your Own Sugar Daddy. I know it's been much anticipated. You guys have been wanting me to share all my tips and tricks on how I'm able to travel the world, live a beautiful life of wealth and abundance, and be in flow with creating the life of my dreams. I specifically created this course with you in mind and have all the juiciest of info on how to switch from a scarcity mentality to one of abundance and on how to create actionable steps to embody being the highest and best version of yourself. This is a 6-week course that you can take with you any place you go and includes yummy journal prompts, audio, and a PDF. The course launches the first week of February with the introductory price of $400 off, and the following week it goes up to full price. So do not sit or sleep on this. These are all of the same techniques I've used to create my dream life, and I can't wait to share them with you. You can sign up at www.itsconway.com under courses, and I can't wait to hear about all the transformation that happens in each of your lives.
Thank you for joining us today on the episode of Higher Conversations. If you're looking to take your personal growth to the next level and live the life of wealth and abundance you have been dreaming of, I offer coaching sessions that can help you unlock your full potential. Visit my website at itsconway.com or DM me on Instagram or TikTok at conwayisrad to learn more. If you found value in today's episode, please leave a review and share it with your friends and loved ones, because together we can inspire and uplift one another. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram at higher.conversations for behind-the-scenes content, updates, and additional resources to support your journey towards abundance and fulfillment. Thank you for being a part of the Higher Conversations community. And until next time, embrace change and pursuing your dreams, because you can be blessed through something you would never consider a blessing.